farmer is cool. And sometimes they wish there was a farmer. And sometimes he does bring like a basket or something and does pick fruit right off the vine.
You're listening to the Food Garden Life Show, the show that brings together gardening, food, and the human story. I'm your host, Emma Biggs.
And I'm Stephen Biggs. We talk to creative food gardeners and farm and garden experts who break the rules and make new ones, too. I didn't tune in to the doom and gloom on the news today. Do you have days when you hear the news and wonder how we as individuals can ever make a difference? Here at the Food Garden Life Show, we're about the good news. And today we want you to meet an inspiring change maker, a 7-year-old farmer. How can we as individuals make a difference? How about inspiring young people to become the change makers of tomorrow, like that 7-year-old farmer? We'll be talking with Kendall Ray Johnson and her mom, Ursula. And Kendall is the youngest certified farmer in the state of Georgia. She's using her urban farm to grow lots of food and also to teach more kids about gardening. The connection that Emma and I have to Kendall is that we're all fans of an organization called Kids Gardening, kidsgardening.org. Here is our chat with Kendall. And I hope Kendall's enthusiasm just lights up your afternoon.
Thank you both for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, it's so nice to meet you. We're really excited about what you're doing.
Thank you.
So I'm Steve.
And I'm Emma.
Nice to meet you, Steve and Emma.
Great to meet you too.
Can we start by finding out how you got into gardening in the first place?
Sure. I started gardening when I was 3.
Oh, wow. So you were very young when you started.
Yeah, very, very young.
Nice. And why did you start gardening in the first place?
I started gardening because of my great-grandma, Kate. My great-grandma taught me the Cosby story, which is we get collard green from the store. We take the top off and we put the base back in the ground because it will regrow over and over again if you keep doing it.
So you've been gardening for quite a while now. Well, I guess now you've actually taken it up a step in your farming. When did you decide to go from gardening into starting a farm?
I think it kind of just happened. As parents, we watched her have a love for gardening. And we just decided to say, okay, well, how do you start this? If she wants to garden more, or, you know, at that time she called it a farm because she was growing stuff. And eventually she wanted to have, you know, chickens or what have you. So it was just one of those things that we said, well, if she loves to do this so much, how can we help her take it to the next level? And that's where she received her farm and tract ID, which made her a farm.
Okay, Kendall, I would like to know what your friends think of you being a farmer.
Well, they think being a farmer is cool. And sometimes they wish there was a farmer. And sometimes he does bring like a basket or something and does pick fruit right off the vine.
Nice.
And Ursula, did you grow up growing food or was this new for you?
No. It was not my thing. I came from arts and entertainment. So I came from the dance background, and by me being, you know, in that space, I never really got an opportunity to learn how to grow.
So it's been a learning process for you too.
Yes, we have learned from Kendall and her love. We learned from her and all of her ideas, we call them, and concepts that she wants to do. And then we kind of just say, okay, well, how do you do that? We YouTube it a lot. how do we make garden beds? And then we'll see some designs or what have you, or we'll ask Miss Kendall what type of designs that she would like. And she'll draw them out sometimes. And then Dad and I will just say, okay, we're going to make it happen.
Well, speaking of learning, Kendall, can you tell us about the online classes that you run?
The online classes, yes, we do like garden classes to show kids what's the easiest thing to start on to grow, how to grow that, what's the right time to grow it.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
You named a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Nice. So for any kids out there who are looking to learn lots about gardening, and I guess adults too, I guess we'll put the link to your website in the podcast episode so that people can head over there and check that out.
Absolutely. And another way for them to learn, like right now we're getting ready for bees because apiary. And so we're doing like Instagram lives, you know, so on most times, like maybe the first or second Monday of the month, depending on if it's a sunny day or not, we will talk about bees. And what did you do the last? What was the last one? You talked about, how bees communicate.
Oh, yeah.
With Mr. Bill.
Uh-huh. Bees can communicate by smells. When a bee is in front of a giant wasp that's ready to charge at them, to give off a sense of smell that lets know other bees that are around them, to let it know that it is in danger.
And then what were the other two talked about with Mr. Bill?
Bees can communicate by antennas, yes. By feeling stuff.
And then the last one was your favorite. Your waffle dance.
All right. The waffle dance is the one where a bee goes off in the forest to find some nice flowers. And when it finds a whole full of flowers, to come back to the hive and to do the waffle dance to tell Dr. Bees where to go to find the flowers.
Okay. So the dance tells the other bees where to go.
Yeah.
Hey, that's really cool.
Hopefully we can get some kids
to harvest to their own honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's one of her goals, is not to just harvest her own honey, but to get other kids to harvest honey.
So we will put your Instagram handle in the show notes, but maybe you can tell us now too, for people who are listening and want to hear it.
Your Instagram, do you remember what your Instagram is? At what?
Ecoculture.www.com.
No, oh my gosh. What? Huh? So your Instagram, I love it. So your Instagram is at Ecoculture.
Okay.
And your website is www.ecoculture.com.
And that's also the name of the farm, right?
Yes, agriculture, kind of, you know, a play on agriculture. But I figure, you know, they're growing into the space, so.
Nice, I like that.
Coming up, Kendall tells us about teaching gardening to other kids. And then Ursula explains what it means to be a certified farm. That's coming up in just a moment. Some shout-outs today, and Debbie read our article about ground cherries and Cape gooseberries and wrote in to say that she dries ground cherries and also that they keep very well in a basket on the counter. Thanks, Debbie. And to Brian, who wrote in to say his pawpaw trees are laden with flowers. Great to hear it, Brian. Mine too. hoping for a good crop this year. And Cindy wrote in to say that she loves the podcast. Thank you, Cindy. And Inger wrote in about our last episode where our guest talked about the two-wheel tractor. And Inger's a fan of the podcast, but wanted to point out to me that in her experience, the two-wheel tractor is heavy and tough to handle. I'm glad of the feedback. I've never used one myself, so always glad to hear from all of you, even if there's an episode that you don't agree with. We have some new content on foodgardenlife.com, an article about plants with more than one edible part. Such a great thing to weave into a home garden and a backyard setting, because when space is at a premium, the more that we can get from a plant, the better. So I've put in there 10 of my favorites, including radish, because along with the root, you can eat the seed pods. They're crunchy, great on a salad, wonderful as a garnish. We have beets, because along with beetroot, beet leaves, great. Use them when they're tiny, like fresh Swiss chard, or you can cook them as they're bigger. My mom always used to put beet leaves into a pot of borscht. Dill, along with the dill leaves, dill flowers are edible. You can tap dill pollen onto a white plate, and it looks really nice. And then there's dill seeds. Dried dill seeds, great in the winter when you want some dilly flavor in something. And then one of the other plants that we've got in this article is fig. And of course, people think about eating figs. I've talked and written often about using fig leaves to make things like fig leaf panna cotta or fig leaf granita, where you don't actually eat the leaf, but you pull out the flavor. But there are a couple other edible uses for the fig. Fig sap can be used to coagulate milk. So I was just chatting with somebody at my local grocery store, and she was saying that back home people used to use fig sap to make ricotta cheese, and I've talked to people who've used it to make yogurt-like products. And one other thing for the fig, if you're into smoking meat, of course fruit wood is always good. I like to use cherry and apple, but fig wood has a very distinctive and, in my opinion, lovely smoke to it. You're listening to the Food Garden Life Show, the show that brings together gardening, food, and the human story, with your hosts Emma Biggs and me, Stephen Biggs. Now, back to our chat with Kendall Ray Johnson and her mom, Ursula.
Can we talk more about the farm? What are you growing?
Well, right now we're growing black-eyed peas, green beans. Mm-hmm.
Navy beans, and purple whole peas. So those are the four that she started planting.
And
what else you have out here?
We just harvest collard greens. And if you want some, please come over because there are starting to bolt, which means it's going into a flower. That means it'll taste really tart.
Mm-hmm. Be a little tough.
We just made it into like a paste that we think that might help the plants grow a little bit faster.
Okay. So we did a so, you know, putting it in your oven, letting it dry out a little bit,
and then blending it up, making a little paste and drying it in the oven again.
I am really interested, Kendall, to know what plants and bugs other kids are interested in.
Some kids are interested in worms. Mm. Like a plant's biggest enemy, that is a type of green worm, which is called a hornworm. A hornworm can eat a whole plant in seconds.
They're big.
Yeah.
Really big.
And always hungry.
Yes.
White flies are like a bug that could like lay eggs on the plants that makes more white flies, which means big feast for the white flies here in the garden.
So you have white flies, you have hornworms.
We also have beetles that eat our plants.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about some of the nice bugs that help our plants.
Okay, what are the nice bugs that help your plants?
Let's go back to the worm. Not the hornworm, but like a regular worm. The regular worms, they eat like food scraps and stuff, and they're mixed up the soil. They mix up the soil to make like good tunnels that all the roots and wire can go through, so we won't have that many problems with our plants. And they make a soil nice moist soil.
So the worms are good, and your bees, I guess they're good too, right?
Bees pollinate the flowers, so we can have lots of healthy fruit. Better for us, better for the bees. So that's a whole ecosystem here in the garden.
Well, if people want to learn more about gardening and about all the cool stuff you're doing, you have a book coming out. Is that right?
Uh-huh. We have a book coming out. This is called I'm Growing Places.
What's in the book?
Well, it's about me growing a cucumber. Or was it squash?
Cucumber.
Yeah. It's about me growing a cucumber and in the backyard, see what will happen.
Yeah, it's a book about just giving you a visual, a really good visual, what to expect when you're growing a plant, that plant life cycle. You know, you have your seed, like she said, you know, the first stage, second stage, but you have like seedling and, you know, and then as she calls it, the sun changes because, you know.
The sun has a smile face.
Yeah, the sun smiles throughout the growing phases. Sometimes the sun has a cute smile, and sometimes the sun is like, cheese. You know? which was really cool because she got an opportunity to really work with an illustrator to tell them how she wanted her book to be. You know, from her perspective, the sun is different every day. You know, from her perspective, watching the cucumber plant from the tomato plant is different every time she sees it or she's looking at it. So it's a really, really, really cool book. And she recently received a foreword from the former United States Department of Agriculture Deputy Secretary Jewel Bronaugh.
Oh, wow. That's super cool.
Congratulations.
Wow.
That's awesome, nice. Kendall.
Yeah, so yeah. We're really excited, and we just hope that everyone can take a look at the book and read it with their loved ones and really just enjoy it and allow it to spark conversations.
And it's available for pre-order now, I'm pretty sure. So where should people go to do that?
So they can go to www.agroculture.com. It's on the very first page. All they have to do is scroll down and you'll see a button that says pre-order.
I'm sure that you're excited about the book coming out, but what else are you excited about at the farm for this coming growing season?
Well, we made signs to tell people
what's in the garden.
What's in the garden? And
well, what are you going to be growing? We know you have beans. We know you have collard greens.
We have 4 okra beds. And the sweet mint, chocolate mint.
Ooh.
I love chocolate mint.
And then you have in the front yard, you have what? What beds you have up there? Strawberry.
We have yum. We had lots of rows of strawberry. Woo! It's going to be a strawberry patch.
Nice.
Emma's made chocolate mint ice cream in the past, Kendall, and it was very good. I really recommend it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, we're going to have to try that because I like to eat it raw, like just fresh out the garden. And you know what it always reminds me of? Thin Mint from Girl Scouts.
Oh.
Yeah.
It gives me that Thin Mint flavor. And I'm just like, thank you.
Yeah. It is so delicious.
if you could just tell our listeners just a bit more about being a certified farmer, because I think in some places people won't be familiar with this idea, and I think it's so great. Tell us about that.
One of the things that we realize is that a lot of people, for one, will question certified, right? You are considered certified from the USDA once you have your farm and tract ID.
Mm.
Always farm without it, but to receive some of the governmental subsidies and loans and grants and, you know, different programs that help farmers, period. You know, she wouldn't have been able to receive her farm high tunnel if she did not have that track farm and tract ID. So I tell people, I said, that's certification, right? That's the first step that you do, is you get your farm and tract ID. And that is easy. It doesn't cost a thing, cost a lot of time to fill out all of that paperwork, but go to your local, you know, FSA program or office and just ask, you know, how do I obtain my farm tract and ID?
Super. Thanks for that advice.
Yeah.
And I have one last question, Kendall, for you before we finish. Tell me, if there are other kids who want to get their parents gardening and farming, what advice do you have for them? How should they get their parents to garden with them?
Well, the best way is how my mommy noticed that I like gardening. It all started when I took a seed and just put it in the ground. Every seed I take out, I like a tomato, a cucumber. Mommy sees that I loved it, and that's how I started working farm.
So basically, taking your seed and planting, like just growing as a parent, if we see our child interested in it, take it from there.
Okay.
That is really great advice. Hey, well, Kendall, you're doing some pretty amazing things. Youngest certified farmer in the state of Georgia. You've done lots of cool things. You have a book coming out. And you have a high tunnel, which I have to say I'm very jealous of because I want one. So I'm really excited to see what you do in the future. And thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What did you think? As you heard, Kendall's mom is not a gardener. Kendall was inspired by her great-grandmother. So it just takes one person sometimes to really light a spark. Before this interview, I was talking about the change makers of tomorrow, and I think we can all inspire them. Even if we don't want to be center stage in making change, is gardening not your thing? I bet you have something special, whether it's cooking or building or people skills. People skills, there's a skill for change makers, people skills and leadership. Kendall's new book just came out. It's called I'm Growing Places, and you can find it on her website, which is agroculture.com. Let me spell that. It's AGROWKULTURE, agroculture, culture with the K.com. And Ursula also mentioned Kendall's Instagram, and you'll find that handle on the website. If this has inspired you to think about gardening with kids, remember, check out kidsgardening.org too. And that's this organization that Kendall has been involved with, that Emma and I have been involved with. They are amazing people there. And if you go to kidsgardening.org, they have resources for parents, for grandparents, for teachers. There's lots of amazing resources for teachers. We'd love it if you drop by to say hi online at foodgardenlife.com. We have articles about growing fruit, veg, using your homegrown produce, also about growing figs and lemons in cold climates. So say hi. Tell us the topics that would help you grow more of your own. And you'll also get to see the faces that go with these voices that you hear on the podcast. While you're at foodgardenlife.com, also grab our free newsletter. Subscribers get the subscriber-only cold climate fig guide and small space food gardening tip sheet.
And you can find me on my website, emmabiggs.ca, and on Instagram as emmabiggs_grows.
You're listening to the Food Garden Life Show. I'm Stephen Biggs.
And I'm Emma Biggs. Thanks for tuning in.